The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Raleigh News and Observer, HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter, the NC State Extension Gardener e-magazine, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, and maybe from Great Gardening Gizmos by Rodale. We'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer. This article is by Adrienne Higgins, titled, "The Rambler is a Rose Worthy of Poetic Devotion." The rose itself lends to plant breeding as willingly as its cousin, the apple, and gardeners have been trying to find the next perfect rose for centuries. In recent years, this tinkering has reached a new pitch as breeders, growers, and nurseries have frantically sought to reinvent the rose and reshape its image as a sickly and fussy plant. To a great extent, they have succeeded, developing roses that bloom continually into fall and don't need spraying. The shining example is the knockout rose, planted by the millions and defining office parks, hotel parking lots, and home gardens where the owner does not want to fuss with the plant life. Knockout succeeds wildly as a bulletproof flowering shrub, but the plant is stiff in its habit, and the off-key magenta bloom is hard to love. It is not the rose of Shakespeare's sonnets, but there is a rose worthy of such poetic devotion, and one that has stayed above the fray of the breeding revolution. This is the rambling rose, the spreading, luxuriant rose of arbors, trellises, and pergolas that is so decadent in its vigor, flower count, colors, fragrances, and sheer elan that it almost dares you to declare it old-fashioned. The rambler is not old-fashioned. It is timeless. I can think of no other single plant that can lend an area of the garden so much drama, romance, and character. So why doesn't everyone have one? They can be hard to find, and they require some work, but the biggest drawback is they bloom just once a year. A single bower may be in flower for a month, and extravagantly even for a rose, but those attributes don't wash for consumers programmed for ever-blooming roses. We don't fret when the dogwood blooms but once a year, or the clematis, or the viburnum. We should allow room in our hearts and gardens for ramblers, and you do not need a thatched, low-eaved cottage to get the effect. I have two growing on a utilitarian fence around my community garden plot. By any objective measure, they look great, especially the French heirloom named Alexandre Giralt, dripping from mid-May to mid-June with hundreds of scented crimson-pink roses. The lateral branches extend 25 feet, and the embrace would be more encompassing if I allowed it. Once the blooms fade, I spend about an hour cutting off all the spent flowers, and then 10 minutes once a week through the summer trimming back the vegetative growth to keep it tidy-looking and clear of the adjoining path. Even if I viewed this work as a chore rather than as horticultural therapy, it would still be worth it for the annual display. I do not spray it against black spot or anything else, and the foliage remains clean and disease-free. Climbing roses, in comparison to ramblers, tend to bloom repeatedly through the season, but are shorter and with stiffer canes. One rose lover who needs no convincing is Connie Hilker, who lives in an 1848 brick Gothic house in the Stafford County, Virginia, hamlet of Hartwood. The property, once part of a 1,150-acre antebellum estate, has 9 acres of land adorned with old trees and charming outbuildings, and is wrapped in a paddock fence that serves as a gallery wall for her picture-perfect rambling roses. A rose named Dr. W. Van Fleet was particularly festive when I visited recently. This is one of the best known and most enduring rambling roses, but its offspring has become more famous as the ubiquitous climber we now know as New Dawn. New Dawn is a great rose. For one thing, it reblooms, but its parent has the edge when it comes to rambling qualities. The canes are more pliant, the rose is covered in so many soft pink blossoms that the petals, when they fall, turn the ground a blushed white. Hilker, who was on a mission to collect and preserve antique rose varieties in danger of being lost, has a handful of lesser-known roses introduced by the Van Fleet Roses' namesake, Walter Van Fleet, including Alida Lovett, which is shell pink, vigorous, and less thorny than most. Behind the house, down the hill past the ancient pecan tree, with a spread of more than 100 feet, she has used the perimeter fence to present other ramblers. Here she grows them in a more open style, in which the lateral branches are fewer but allowed to grow long, and each one is peppered with blooms. One reason to grow roses laterally rather than just up: horizontal growth encourages greater flowering along a branch. She shows me one especially winsome rose, a variety named Leontine Gervaise, with semi-double, glowing pink blooms and a conspicuous orange boss of stamens. At just 3 years in the ground here, it was already more than 40 feet across, though just 5 feet in height. This is the beauty of ramblers. The gardener determines the height, and then lets them spread far and wide. To grow them so low and openly, Hilker follows a methodical pruning regime. They bloom on canes that developed the year before. The young shoots, now growing at the base of the shrub, will bear flowers next year. Those that are growing roughly in the right direction will be kept and tethered along the fence. Those that cannot be wrangled will be removed. Espaliered this way, no more than 6 lateral branches remain on either side. As the new canes are tied and trained, the oldest ones will be removed. You don't have to be methodical about the pruning if you want a fuller, wilder look. Having established the lateral growth on my Alexandre Girard, I prune it to the width I want and remove congested canes in the winter. It is trimmed over the summer, but I avoid the type of hard pre-spring pruning you would on a shrub rose to keep flower-bearing branches. If you want a corner of your garden to look romantically brambly, do no pruning. This is in play with a fetching feral rose that Hilker has allowed to populate a corner of the property. Named Arcata Pink Globe, it sprawls itself like a languid diva over a fence and adjoining shrubbery. The flowers are 4 inches across, layered in soft pink petals and sweetly scented. The Arcata Pink Globe is due to be tamed, but Hilker will wait until next winter because it's currently supporting wildlife, including nesting cardinals. Another way to go wild with ramblers is to allow them to grow into trees, an effect that needs the most robust of the gang. Hilker has American Pillar climbing up a red cedar tree and a Paul's Himalayan Musk lurking in a black cherry tree. Many ramblers are lax in their petal arrangements and their stems. This, to my eye, increases their charm, although the floppiness limits their role as cut flowers. In the vase, they need propping up and do not last long. Maybe this is why Hilker prefers the more single and semi-double varieties. I keep meaning to plant the variety Francis E. Lester, which has large, single blooms that are soft pink with contrasting yellow stamens. Dortmund is another vigorous, scene-setting single bloomer with vibrant red flowers. The essential consideration when growing ramblers is to make sure the structure they are growing on is strong and large enough for the task. And now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, a plant list for hummingbirds, butterflies, and bees. There is a nearly endless list of plants gardeners can grow to attract hummingbirds, bees, and butterflies. Here's a list of some of our favorite easy-to-grow plants for you to add to your own garden. For hummingbirds, bugleweed, hollyhock, snapdragon, columbines, butterfly weed, spiderflower, dianthus, bleeding heart, foxglove, fuchsias, gladiola, coral bells, daylilies, touch me not, moonvine, torch lilies, cardinal flower, mirabilis, bee balm, nicotianas, pinstemons, petunias, salvias, and garden nasturtiums. For bees and butterflies, yarrow, sea thrift, goat's beard, gold alyssum, pot marigold, red valerian, chrysanthemums, tick seed, cosmos, gas plant, purple coneflower, sweet Joe pie weed, blanket flowers, delphiniums, heliotrope, common candy tuft, lavenders, gay feathers, sweet alyssum, bee balms, phloxes, black-eyed Susans, sedum herbstrafrud, globe thistle, rhododendrons, white clover, Scotch heather, purple toad flax, thymes, rosemary, geraniums, asters, oreganos, mints, English daisy, borage, veronicas, primroses, bachelor's button, sunflowers, cosmos, poppies, and hellebores. This list is only a small beginning, and there are surely hundreds of others that we missed. And from HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter, here's some beautiful new roses to grow for 2018. Rose at last. Combine a fragrant hybrid tea with a disease-resistant landscape rose, and you've got At Last, a 2018 introduction from proven winners. These vigorous shrubs have rounded growth habit and produce big, sunset orange flowers almost non-stop until frost. These easy care plants do not need spraying. Prune them back about one-third of their height each year early spring. Floribunda Rose, plum perfect. Short on garden space? Need a pop of bright color? Try Plum Perfect, a compact floribunda that bears clusters of plum-colored flowers throughout the summer. The double ruffled blooms measure just under 3 inches long and backed by shiny dark green foliage. The plants grow to 3 feet high and tolerate heat and humidity. English Rose Imogene, a shrub rose from English breeder David Austin, has a button eye like the ones in old roses. Its lemon yellow buds open to frilly flowers that gradually become cream-colored. Michael Marriott, an Austin rose expert, recommends growing it alongside soft blue and lilac-colored perennials. This sweet rose smells like a mixture of fresh apples and almonds with a dash of musk and cloves. Expect flowers early summer until frost. Rose Ozo Easy Hot Paprika. Spice up your landscape with Ozo Easy Hot Paprika, an update of an older ground cover rose. This new variety bears continuously from summer to fall. with vivid orange blooms on plants that reach 1 to 2 feet tall. The low-growing shrubs are disease-resistant and very cold-tolerant. Don't worry about deadheading the faded flowers. Just cut the plants back by half their height each year in early spring. They're great in containers, borders, and beds, or as edging plants. Hybrid tea rose, Savannah. A hybrid tea rose should take a bow. This variety was named Best Hybrid Tea, Most Fragrant Rose, and Most Outstanding Rose at the 2015 Biltmore International Rose Trials. It withstands heat and humidity in southern gardens and is resistant to black spot and mildew. The vigorous shrubs grow to 4 feet with glossy green leaves and lots of fragrant salmon pink blooms in the summer. An English rose, Roald Dahl. Bred to flower repeatedly, whether grown in a hot, humid climate or hot, dry one, Roald Dahl has peach-colored, cup-shaped blooms. This English musk hybrid has a tea rose scent with notes of blackberries, blueberries, and plums. It has very few thorns, and it can be used in containers or garden beds. And the rose, Sweet Mademoiselle. When the temperatures change, so do the colors of Sweet Mademoiselle. In hot weather, the flowers are light apricot. When it's cooler, they turn peachy pink to deep pink. The full double blooms are sweetly scented, held on 5-foot shrubs with dark green foliage. This hybrid tea blooms from summer to fall. English Rose, Bathsheba. Many modern rose varieties lost their perfumes as breeders worked to develop other traits. Bathsheba, a repeat bloomer from David Austin roses, has the rich scent of honey and myrrh. Hardy, it can grow to 10 feet and produces big, densely petaled blooms that are apricot pink on top and soft yellow below. An outer ring of pale petals gives them a halo effect. Bathsheba is one of 5 David Austin roses the company recommends planting for fragrance. And Rose Moonlight Romantica. Roses in the Romantica series, from Star Roses and Plants, have old-fashioned flower forms but new and improved resistance to diseases. Moonlight Romantica, the newest rose in the line, is very fragrant, with large, light yellow flowers bathed in soft white. The bushy, vigorous plants grow to 6 feet in zones 6 through 9. It's a lovely variety for a cutting garden. Now from the NC State Extension Gardener, Incredible Edibles, Florence Fennel. Florence Fennel is a great multi-use plant, both a vegetable and an herb. The thickened, bulb-like base can be boiled, roasted, used raw, or sautéed like a vegetable, and the foliage can be used like an herb. Both parts have a distinct anise-like flavor and aroma. Florence fennel does well in most parts of North Carolina, with spring planting dates for the NC Piedmont and coastal plain between March and April, and a late summer planting in July and August. In the NC Mountains, plant in the spring between April and May. This warm season annual does best from seed and should not be confused with fennel, which is a perennial herb that is often used as an ornamental and pollinator plant. And that article was written by Hannah Smith. And HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter, here are some purple flowers and plants. The Dahlia Thomas Edison. This stunning purple dahlia is an oldie, introduced in the 1940s, so you know it's a winner because it's still around. Purple sage features pungent leaves in summer. The purpurescence variety sage is a hardy form with tactile, deeply textured leaves. In the summer, It is topped by tall spires of pretty mauve flowers. Purple cabbage is both ornamental and delicious. Cabbage plants can vary in size, shape, color, and texture. For example, some cabbages are purple in color, and certain cultivars have pointed heads. Purple heucheras are known for colorful foliage. Heuchera macrantha is an excellent choice for the edge of a border or in containers and tubs. Plants form a low mound of maple-shaped leaves, from bronzy green to rich purple red. Spikes of small creamy white flowers appear in early summer. Well-sweep purple miniature basil. This purple variety basil has great tasting, green-edged, tapering leaves. It can add vibrant purple color in the garden or a nice color change on the patio as well. Bowls mauve, ursimum flowers for weeks. The ursimum bowls mauve wallflower is a bushy evergreen with narrow gray-green leaves and erect purple flowers. These nectar-rich plants encourage beneficial wildlife, such as ladybugs, lacewings, and hoverflies into the garden. Queen of Night tulips. The Queen of Night has deep, purple-black single flowers that contrast well with light blue forget-me-nots. Purple Sensation. The deep purple spherical flower heads of the Allium Purple Sensation appear in early summer or on sturdy stems. This stately Allium looks stunning when planted with silver-leaved shorter plants. Beautiful Barberry. Barberry is a mid-sized deciduous prickly shrub with deep red-purple leaves that turn brighter red in autumn. It bears small yellow flowers and has red berries in autumn. Purple Emperor. Sedum telephium purple emperor features clusters of shell pink flowers at the ends of its stems from late summer to fall. Its leaves emerge burgundy in spring and turn deep purple in color throughout the season. Brick red stems add winter interest. Use common bugle ground cover for moist conditions. Ajuga reptans, or bugle, is a mat-forming perennial with spreading, dark green obovate leaves whose erect spikes of dark blue flowers appear in late spring and early summer. Smoke bush grown for colorful foliage and flowers. Cotinus cagagria, a deciduous multi-stemmed shrub, gets its name from billowy hairs attached to elongated stalks on spent flower clusters, which turn smoky pink in summer, covering the tree with fluffy, hazy, smoke-like puffs. Mrs. Winder is a small evergreen shrub with narrow, dark green leaves tinged with red-brown when young and small, violet-blue flowers. Lavender Lemon Fancy. The Pelargonium Lemon Fancy offers a citrusy scent from its leaves. It is vulnerable to frost. Purple Coneflower. Purple Coneflower Magus has purple-pink to rosy-purple flowers that develop a cone that fall back as they age. And Phalaenopsis orchid blooms. These ornamental stunners add visual interest when hung in unexpected spots. And now, Great Gardening Gizmos by Rodale, a clam rake cultivator. Whether or not you live near the seashore, a short-handled clam rake can be the perfect thing for cultivating and freshening a garden bed. The rake's slender tines penetrate the ground deeply, bringing up rhizomes of grasses and other invasive weeds in large pieces that are easy to pick out of the soil. Market gardener George DeVault lives and farms in Pennsylvania, but he swears by his clam rake. It's a lot less work than chopping away at weeds or hardened soil with a hoe, DeVault says. And welcome not mats for slugs. Discourage slugs in the garden by sprinkling red cedar shavings, the kind used for hamster litter, around your plants. According to Carol Carpenter Russell, teacher and gardener of Union City, Tennessee, they hate crawling over the cedar. I've found a successful and inexpensive way to discourage slugs, says Caroline Whitenack of Doylestown, Pennsylvania. I take a bucket of builder's sand to the garden with me when I'm transplanting. When I set each plant into the ground, I use an old laundry scoop to distribute the sand around the base of each small plant. Slugs won't crawl over the sharp sand. And foil collars for cutworms and slugs. Foil-hungry cutworms with aluminum foil, says gardener Anita Nielsen of Saugatuck, Michigan. Nielsen had no luck keeping cutworms and slugs away from tender young cabbage, pepper, and tomato seedlings until she tried making plant collars out of aluminum foil. It's just so easy. I have no cutworm problem at all, Nielsen says. To make a collar, she cuts a piece of aluminum foil about 6 inches square and then crumples it slightly, just until it feels rough to the touch, she explains. Then Nielsen tears the foil from the middle of one side to the center of the square. She slips the plant stem through that opening and pinches the foil closed around the stem, forming something like a mini tree guard. You just have to be sure that the foil covers the stem and reaches down into the soil just a little bit, Nielsen cautions. And plumbers and florists help her. A plumber's helper can be a creative part of a topiary arrangement, says Philadelphia florist Bill Franklin, who often gives demonstrations at the Philadelphia Flower Show. Franklin paints a plumber's helper, or plunger, green, and sticks it, handle end down, into floral foam in an arranging container. He then does matching arrangements in the plunger cup and in the container, making it look like a plant that has been grown as a standard. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until the next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.